Could you tell us your name?
I'm Suzanne Molnar, and I was born Suzanne Louise Downs.
How? And do you mind telling us how old you are?
I'm 52. I was born in 1945.
Okay, and you live in Bayside now?
I do. I have a cottage on Park Row.
And how long have you had that cottage?
17 years. It's not an old family cottage.
But the one we're in is, and could you tell us your name?
Amy Downs.
And your age?
90.
Birth date?
November 28, my mother said, but the records say December 2nd. I don't know who's right.
Is that right? And what year was that?
1906.
1906, okay. And the address of this cottage?
This is on the corner of Broadway and Griffin.
And how long has this cottage been in your family?
We bought it about 20 years ago. We used to own one up on just up on the same street. We owned the old Acorn Cottage. We bought it for $700. Of course, it needed a lot of repair, but in those days, cottages at Bayside were very inexpensive.
Do you know
I was told that somebody owned two, so he gave away one of them. Well, I don't know. That was what I was told. But prices used to be very low.
Yeah, I've heard that. And how did you first come to Bayside?
My husband's parents were here for their honeymoon, I believe. I think probably at Bangor Chapel. And they loved the place. So when the World War was over, Second World War, as soon as our two babies were born, when Ernie was 12 months old, we came, and they arranged for us to have an apartment at Bangor Chapel, and they had a room up over us, so we could. Walt's father just loved Bayside, so we could spend some time together. He always came every chance he could get. He came down to Bayside.
And what was Walter's father's name?
Claude.
Claude Downs.
Claude Downs.
And when did you first come to Bayside?
Well, I came when I was 2 years old, when my mother came for the first time. That would have been June of 1947.
Mm-hmm. And you have a brother?
I have a brother 14 months younger than me, and so he came when he was a year old.
And his name?
Is Ernest Downs.
And Ernest still comes, doesn't he?
What?
Does your son still come to Bayside?
Oh, every chance he gets. He lives in New Hampshire. Sometimes he comes over. It's about 200 miles. I've known him to come over, get here for lunch at noon, go down to the beach and play with his little girl, and come up and say, I have to go up because I have to go to work tonight. he loves Bayside. So any time he can get a free day, he comes over. In fact, he's coming tonight because he and his friend Richard Hewitt are going on a weekend cruise, and they're going to be here tonight, so they get an early start tomorrow.
How many children does he have?
Who?
Ernest.
Ernie? Just the one little girl.
One little girl, and you have?
I have two girls.
Two girls. So there's three granddaughters, and you
said
that's the fifth generation now coming to Bayside. Could you walk us backwards a little bit?
My father's grandparents came here, and I believe they were the ones that honeymooned in Bayside. Now, maybe my grandparents did too, I'm not sure, but the story I heard from my father was that back when Park Row was quite new, and those cottages, I think, were built in the 1870s, and were rented by the week, as they still are some, that my great-great-grandparents spent their honeymoon in one of them. And at first my father thought that maybe it was the one I bought, but then he later figured no, it wasn't. But that's the first. They didn't own cottages. My father was actually the first in the family to own a cottage here. But the two generations previously came, I guess, when they could. My father began coming prenatally.
So was your father's grandparents, then your father's parents? Do you
mm-hmm.
know the names?
I don't know my father's grandparents' names. His parents were Claude Downs and...
Sadie.
Sadie Augusta Cookson Downs.
And then Walter and Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And Suzanne and Ernest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Down to...
And then there's these granddaughters, Rachel and Julia and Cindy.
That's a wonderful family heritage. What are some important places that you remember when you came here as a child? Some important in when you used to go out to play?
Well, the park was the biggest thing. The play equipment was different. The play equipment had stayed pretty unchanged, probably hardly even repaired, but it was old sturdy stuff that didn't need repair very often. From the time I was a child until about 6 or 7 years ago, when the present playground was put in, the old slide was deemed too dangerous and the old seesaws were considered too dangerous, and that was all torn out. And they were scary. They were things you worked up to as a child. The other thing that I remember most was, well, the beach, of course.
I think you enjoyed the sailing school. Suzanne always had a boyfriend at the sailing school.
Well, that's when I was a little older, yeah. That's true. I did.
When you were what? How old were you then? Not
15
not very
or so.
Old.
14, 15. Yeah. there were two stores when I was little. There was Hastings store up on George Street, and Parker's had the store and post office down at the Blair Agency is now. At some point, Hastings went out of business. I'm not sure when. By the time I was a teenager, at least, Hastings was out of business, and Parker's was the only store here. Although they still, also when I was a child, bread trucks came through, and ice trucks. We did not have a refrigerator. We had an old oak ice box, and trucks came through with the big blocks of ice that people brought out with the tongs and put in. Because people didn't use cars much. We had a lot of people were here without cars, even that we had a car, and we still didn't use it much. It was somehow people didn't think about driving as much as they do now, and so there was a lot of things being delivered rather than thinking you're going to go and get it in your car.
I've heard that from other sources. Was the basketball court there?
It
didn't that used to be a tennis court?
It was an old, broken-down tennis court when I was little. And I'm not sure at what point the basketball went in. I think by the time I was a teenager. By the time I was a teenager, there was basketball there, Mother, is that right?
What was that?
Was the basketball installed by the time I was a teenager?
Yes. The tennis court was gone by the time time we got here. The basketball was started.
Yeah.
Did you swim very much?
I did. I used to turn blue, but I did. There was a diving tower. There was a diving tower on the float, on the swim float, and there was also, of course, the old diving board that was only done away with a few years ago. Other than that, it was it wasn't very similar. The bay was a lot dirtier. I came back here, 15, 20 years ago, and thought that something had happened to bring a lot of rocks in, because you could see the bottom of the bay when there were only, 6 feet of water. And when I was a child and teenager, you didn't see down in this water more than about 2 feet. You never saw the bottom, even at lowest tide.
Much of our dirt was caused by the chicken factory up in Belfast.
Yeah.
that really was quite filthy.
That and the fact, everybody just dumped raw sewage into the bay. I remember how upset everybody got when they heard that we were going to have put in sewage treatment here. And people were talking about how expensive it was going to be. It had been taken for granted so long that you just dump into the bay. And nobody really thought twice about it. But of course, with all that was being dumped in, there were going to be lots of microorganisms feasting on it, and so the water was really quite opaque.
Did it affect your health or your desire to swim? It seems like it would, but...
Well, I was used to it. I know Mother didn't... When there were visible things floating down from Belfast, Mother wasn't too crazy about us swimming. The worst of it would be chicken heads. It got that bad. And I once, when I was a teenager, got a bad infection on my leg from going into the water, and a nurse down on the float had said, "Oh, it's salt water, it'll be good, you know, go in the salt water." And she wasn't realizing probably what else was in the salt water. The salt was not enough to cancel out whatever else was in there, and I got a lot of infection from just a little cut on my leg. So we thought it was much cleaner than it was. I think there was really a sense up here of it being an undefilable resource.
Did it bring animal, you know, I don't want to say sharks, but that's what I'm thinking about. You know, it seems like it would bring in things to eat, the chicken heads. Mm. There were no problems with that?
I don't know.
That you ever knew of? It wasn't any fear?
Nothing big, no. Yeah. Maybe there were more sand sharks around, I don't know.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
There was never any big ones.
Yeah. Was there fishing? Did people fish eat the fish?
All people ate the fish. We ate the crabs. We're not going to live very long, but, you know, we did.
And lobstering was still...
And clamming, which...
Was there clamming?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We clammed Kelly's Cove, Marshall's Cove. It was very easy. You could just dig masses of clams anywhere.
So that seems to be a difference from now.
Well, at least now we know that they're polluted. They may have been just as bad then, I don't know. But...
Yeah.
When Suzanne and Ernie were very young, the family could go down to Kelly's Cove, dig clams, and have a clam bake right there. That was really real fun.
Could you ever pick the lobsters out of the rocks?
No, now that may have been more true where my mother grew up, but no, you couldn't. I don't think you could, although, again, the water was so opaque, I'm not sure you'd be able to see lobsters very far away from you.
Was there a lifeguard on the dock? Do you remember?
Did we have a lifeguard?
No, we didn't have one.
Well, remember the man who would... Remember the year we had the great lifeguard? He was so great because on rainy days, instead of just taking the day off, he'd take us all over to the community hall and run games for us. That was a lifeguard.
I think we first started having a lifeguard when you were maybe an early teenage or something like that.
Well, earlier than that.
Well, I don't
maybe
know.
I was
your friend.
8 or 10 or so.
Your friend Nancy was lifeguard one summer.
Yeah, that was later, though. But we had lifeguards when I was an older child, like 8 or 10.
I don't know, but I know when I used to go swimming, we used to go where no lifeguard would let us, and there was no lifeguard to stop us.
Was the dock and the float set up the same?
Yes, it was, pretty much, except there was a little... On the dock house, there was a little house on top of the house.
Really?
That was reached by a ladder that the race committee would perch up there in magnificent splendor with a little railing around it, and they'd run the flags from up there.
Oh, that's great. I never heard that. Well, tell me about the sailing. Your father is named for, or our races, one of our races sets is named for your father, is that correct? Mm-hmm. So he must have been big in the sailing, and can you tell us about that?
He taught sailing 13 summers as a volunteer, taking no pay, so the kids could sail all summer for $15, and adults could sail for $20. And he thought everyone should have sailing experience. And if some child came for just 1 week, he would tuck that child in so he'd have the sailing experience. And then he used to have classes in the morning and races in the afternoon. And recently I met Bobby Webster's grandson on the wharf. He said he was one of those who learned to sail, and quite a percentage of the yachtsmen who sail in the races learned in those classes.
That's wonderful. What kind of sailboats did they use then?
Something called turnabouts. They were small catboats. How long were the turnabouts, Mother? Were they 9 feet or 10 feet? They were little things. How long were the turnabouts? Do you know?
No, I couldn't. If I tried to say, it wouldn't be reliable. But
okay.
They weren't very big.
No, maybe
but
about
they were nice. I sailed them two summers and in a sailing class, and
probably about
they were fun.
About 10 feet, maybe, mm-hmm. waterline.
And they were cat boats.
They were cat boats. Yes.
So no centerboard, just.
Oh yeah, they had
a
centerboard. Cat boat means it's got just one sail, no jib.
Oh.
It's just mainsail.
I keep think of that as being. The tub kind of. Not
yeah, well, they are. No, but they do tend to be tubby. But
they do have a centerboard, though.
Yes.
And one, just the mainsail.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, those kids could learn to sail. Some of them, boy, the way they would turn about in a wild wind was really something. like Susie, what was Susie's name? Well, anyway, she and Gordon.
Rice?
What?
Susan Rice?
Yeah, Susie Rice and Gordon Fuller. We went once to Castine to race with him, and it was a strong wind and a great current over there. But our group won because people like Susie would turn around no matter what and go.
You'd go over to Castine in one of those little boats?
Oh, no, we didn't. They had boats.
Oh, you went there and you
went over
there.
To race with
okay.
them, but they had boats, so we could race in their boats.
Now, was this program that your husband did, was that through the yacht club? Was
that
the
was
yacht
a part
club
of, that was
in
a part
existence
of,
then?
That was part of Walter Down's program.
Oh, it was? Okay. Mm-hmm.
The yacht club was founded in the 30s sometime, and the building was built, I think, in about 1949, 1950. But this, I wasn't around during the sailing program. Dad did that after my brother and I grew up.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that must have been.
You know, Walter had.
Mid-60s on.
He had different stages for the sailors to pass tests. And they were so interested. Whenever the weather was no good for sailing, they came up to this cottage. And you never had to say, don't do. They were little angels, every one of them. They'd come up and work just as hard as they could to get a higher rating. And then at the end of the sailing season, there would be a meeting at the community hall, and all the children would get their ratings announced, and there were always trophies, big trophies for the best races, and the biggest trophy of all was for the most valuable captain. There would be someone who was the best, most reliable for teaching the other kids, because the captains the captains sailed free. They got no pay, but they sailed free, and they trained the other sailors.
Now, how did Walter learn to sail? Was it just sport and hobby?
Oh, yes. He taught himself.
Walter?
He rented a boat one afternoon down in Camden and took it out and decided he was going to learn to sail, and did, and then bought himself a boat and learned it from that. But his recreational reading during the winter would be Cruising Guide to the Coast of Maine and Yachting Magazine and this kind of thing. It was entirely a hobby for him.
So self-taught, just mm-hmm. a love and a natural ability.
Well, we went down to Booth Bay Harbor, that's where I grew up, and Walter wanted to learn to sail. So he went to a place where they rented sailboats, and he watched somebody else to see how they did it. And the owner said, now if the gale gets too strong, cut the sheet. Well, he thought the sheet was the sail. He didn't know then what the sheet was. But anyway, he went out in the bay and practiced coming up to seaweed until he could get enough control to come up to the wharf.
That's great.
And then he used to go out, while he was learning, he used to go out every day to practice.
Now, what boats did he own here then? Did he just have one of the turnabouts, or did he have cruising boats? And
yes, yeah, let's see.
Our first boat was a centerboard, a beautiful centerboard, with a tall mast and the old Egyptian cotton sail. And we kept that for a year or two, but then Bob Witherell encouraged Walt to start cruising. Well, we found that we would have to have a cabin if we were going cruising. So we went down to Booth Bay Harbor where there was a used boat for sale and bought a cabin rocket. And we sailed that a few years. And then Walter had a new one made in Massachusetts, in Amesbury, Mass. And that was a cabin rocket, too, with inboard power. We sailed that a long time. And then you finally got a really nice Canadian boat, which we really, really enjoyed.
Did the harbor look like this? Were there this many boats out, would you say?
Oh, no. There were very few when I was a child compared to now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a quarter as many as there are now.
Okay. Both sides of the dock like that, a few moorings. Was there always a harbor master?
I don't know. When did we start having a harbor master, Mother?
Are you having a harbor master?
Yeah.
Well, I think as long as we were boating, there was always one. So I don't know when they started.
Has Al been it for?
He's been do you know how long Al has been?
Mm.
He's been as long as I've been aware of the function.
Mm.
How long he's been harbor master?
Yeah.
I couldn't say, but it's been a long time.
That's what I thought.
Was he actually harbor master when I was a child?
I don't know who was,
he
I don't
been.
Remember who was
he
harbor master
been.
Before him. All I can remember is Al.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about the mail delivery?
Oh, we used to have a post office, you know, right down here.
Where was that?
Right down where the, what is his name?
Blair?
The agent, the
Blair?
What?
Blair's?
Yeah, down Blair's was the post office. And everybody went down around 5 o'clock at night to get his mail, and that's why you saw everybody. It was really a social gathering.
Were there any restaurants in Bayside or places you went?
Not after we came.
Oh,
but,
yes, there were.
Yeah, when we first came, the inn was a real inn. They served meals, and we went down there and had. He got lobster, got a oyster stew to bring home for dinner. That was really quite a place then.
Oh, I didn't remember that the inn served. But Clyde Howard had a restaurant, the Gateway Restaurant.
Oh, that's right. So he did
out where Broadway diverges from.
Yeah, I'd forgotten
George
Clyde.
Street. And I think out where Dos Amigos is, the. Various restaurants have been running that building, and there was one out there when I was a child, too.
Mm-hmm. Was the market there then?
The corner store was there, wasn't it, Mother?
What was that?
What, hasn't the corner store been there as long as we've been coming? Or no?
You mean
the Bayside corner store?
I don't remember when they first started that.
Because
but
we have
had various owners, but I don't remember when they first started. They've had it quite a while.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What were the social events in Bayside? Were there dances or?
Oh yes, you helped run dances for the teenagers when I was a little child. You've told
yes,
me.
During the Second World War, the people didn't have much for gas. They weren't allowed to use much gas, you know. So they had a machine down at the community hall, and the teenagers used to go down there nights and have their dances, and sometimes I used to chaperone their dances.
Yeah, there was an old jukebox. I'm not sure if it's still in the community hall or not.
It was for a long time. It may still be there because I didn't see
it. It hasn't been used in my lifetime, I think, or at least if so, I was a very small child when they quit using it. But
still there,
yeah.
Probably
yeah.
Too hard to move.
And then other dances, the community had, community would have a community square dance at least once a summer.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be a community supper at least once a summer. That was people would go around and ask people to sign up for what they were going to bring and, you know, potluck kind of thing, but it was a very organized potluck. Let's see. I think they had ballroom dancing. I think they'd have community ballroom dancing, too, maybe once in a while, wouldn't they, Mother? Wasn't there ballroom dancing once in a while? You know,
ballroom dancing.
Waltzing, foxtrotting, that kind of thing.
Well, you
I
know, they still have
that.
once a year, the art club has a dance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Were there any theaters?
No, not here.
Drama productions,
we
singers,
did,
music?
We did a variety show.
I did have a square dance class for about, oh, it must have been about maybe 12 years, and we had a lot of fun doing that. But
that would have been in the late 70s and early 80s, maybe? The square dance class. Mm-hmm. But the variety shows was, that was when I was a child and teenager. And that was mostly children, but adults would do things too. Comedy or
those programs
piano
were fun.
Or whatever.
A lot of fun to see everybody's child up doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Were there ever any famous people come to Bayside that you can remember?
Robinson, you know, has had his dances sometimes. He has that group of
Robinson Ballet.
Yes. And he used to have classes there in the summer. He doesn't now. I don't know why, but he doesn't. And they would put on a program once during the summer. Mm-hmm. Really nice program.
I think I remember some of those. Mm-hmm. Were even up to fairly
that
recently.
That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
His wife is very good.
Yeah. So other than Mel Gibson, were there...
Mel really stood out. I think if famous people come, they probably come incognito. It's really not... We're not only not in the fast lane, you know, we're not even on the interstate as far as that goes. So.
Did you ever get water from the pump, or did you always have running water?
No, we never needed it, but Ernie does sometimes. He takes his little girl up just for the fun of getting water from a pump.
Mm-hmm. And my grandmother used to always like it. We used to always have it when my grandmother was down because she liked the taste of it. And some years I've used it just. Some years, Bayside water has not tasted that good.
Yeah.
Some people like it better than the regular city water.
Did you always have hot running water in your cottage?
No. When we had that cottage that I told you we bought, the Acorn Cottage, we had an oil stove on the back porch. We heated our water there. And we didn't have a shower. Walt put one in after a few years. When we first went, there was no shower, but there was a canvas bathtub. And he used to put that out on the floor and give the two kids their bath in their canvas bathtub. It was quite a stunt. And then you see...
It was freezing. It was absolutely freezing.
You heat the water on the kerosene stove, and then he would have the job of emptying that canvas bathtub.
So what did you and Walter do?
What did we do?
For a bath.
Oh. Well, mine were just what I call partials, you know, in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was glad when I went down to Boothbay to visit, and we had a bathtub.
I bet.
But then after a short time, Walt put in a shower on the back porch.
When you came to Bayside, how did you come?
Oh, we had the car that we'd had all through the World War. Walt was in the army; he didn't make much money, you know. So we had the same old Plymouth that we bought just before the war started.
So you always drove?
Yes.
When you came.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell me that some of your relatives used to come down on the river? Some of his relatives?
Well, they used to. When I was here, they used to drive down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, his relatives from Bangor.
But back in these times, they would have come down by boat.
Oh, yes, way back. But when we were here, why, they would drive down. Besides, something rammed the wharf, so it never was long enough for a steamboat again. And then steamboats went out of style anyhow. So there were no wharf, no steamboats. So everybody came by car. But anyway, by the time we came, the roads were, you know, they were decent.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any memory of a policeman in Bayside?
What?
A policeman?
Oh, we have a policeman. I don't know. I haven't checked. We still have one, don't we?
We do now, but do you remember?
Oh, we didn't have one when we first came, no. I don't remember what year we first started, but we didn't have one till quite recently.
And did you think there was a need for one?
Not in those days. Criminals didn't get around as they do now.
Right.
And I don't know, nobody, the kids didn't seem to do anything that ever made any trouble, so we never felt need of police. I don't think we did. I never knew police to be called.
Did you do most of your shopping within Bayside, or did you tend to go to Belfast or Camden?
We've always gone to Belfast.
Okay. Were there any churches in Bayside, or did you go to any church services?
There is one on the road between here and the schoolhouse. It's on the left, and I guess they had services when we first came, but the thing was sold and somebody converted it into a cottage. But it still looks like a church. They didn't dismantle everything.
Now, when Walter's relatives first started coming, it was the Methodist.
Yes, it was a Methodist campground.
Mm-hmm. Campground.
But I'm not sure if they came for the camp meeting part or if they just came, because people, I'm not sure at what point people started coming just recreationally.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time of this photo, if I've got the times right, that would have been the 1890s, and it was a recreational place,
okay,
too, as well as the camp meeting. The camp meeting would happen, I think, 1 week out of the summer.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. Dad's family were Methodist, and so they may have come for camp meeting, but they may not have, too. I don't know.
As far back as I knew, there was Bangor Chapel,
mm-hmm,
where they had their services, but they probably didn't have that when they were in tents. I don't know what they did. Probably it took a while to get that big building built.
There's not a cottage named Bangor.
It's Betty Stover's cottage. Betty, what's her? Is her name Stover, Mother? The woman who has Bangor Chapel now.
What was that?
The woman who has Bangor Chapel, Betty Chittick.
Oh.
Betty Chittick's parents. Let me see. They bought it.
Yeah.
In fact,
the old Bangor Chapel.
In fact, I think they ran the inn. I think it was her parents who ran the inn.
Where is that cottage?
It's
what cottage?
Up at the top of the hill next to the Allen cottage is on one side of it.
Okay. It's on Broadway.
It's on Broadway.
Okay.
Close to it.
It's almost across from Harriet's.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a big place, and Betty Chittick, their daughter, lives there now.
Tell me about some of the people that are here now that you've known for many years.
There's Sam Ways. Very few of the people that we knew at first are here. They were here with their children. Now they just aren't here anymore. The Lovejoy, Peg Lovejoy's parents were here. And Harriet's father was living here when we, of course, he's been gone for quite a while. And Shirley's husband's parents lived about two doors from Harriet.
That's the Rands?
Mm-hmm, the
Rand,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a fair number, actually, considering.
Yeah, let's see. When did the Holmeses come, Mother?
Who?
You know, Sally Wilson's parents, the Holmeses,
oh.
Connie and whatever her husband's name was, Bob.
I don't know when they first came.
Because I remember Betsy was a little child when I was a little child. I don't know if they came before we did or not. She was at least around by the time she was four.
Yeah, well, I don't know when they first came. I know, Leon Lord has been around here a long time. You know Leon Lord and Polly? But they have a beautiful cottage, third from the end on Park Row. And
Leon was a chicken farmer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a very successful chicken farmer. He really made a lot of money with his, and he doesn't get out now. He's very lame. And he has an eye problem, like some of the rest of us. And I don't know how old Leon is, I guess he may be somewhere around my age, but I really don't know. But he still has a garden with a great variety of vegetables, even though he doesn't get around much.
A garden here?
No, it's up. It's up on, still on Broadway, but... But beyond the turn in the road, you know, beyond the park where the pump is a short distance from there, and it's on the left.
The beautiful garden.
He raises everything imaginable.
Ah, huh. And Leon may be somebody you'd want to talk to too.
Yeah.
I don't know how long his family's been around.
Yes, Leon has been a very interesting person at Bayside.
What's the last name?
Lord, L-O-R-D.
Okay.
Do you have Robinson down, Ralph Robinson, on your list?
I'll ask.
Because the Robinsons have been around a long time, too. In fact, was Snelling Ralph's father or Ralph's uncle, mother?
What's that?
Snelling Robinson?
Oh, yes.
Do you know what relationship he was to Ralph? Is he Ralph's uncle?
Whose uncle,
Ralph Robinson. What relation is Snelling to Ralph?
See, Snell was the father of the one that Terry plays in.
Okay, so it's Ralph's father. Snelling was the one who financed the turnabouts.
I don't know how long the Robinsons had been here, but they were here as far back as I knew.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how my father came to talk about it with him, but...
Well, one thing...
Maybe she knows.
Snell Robinson had a lot of money, and when Walt wanted some turnabouts, he asked Snell if he wanted to help pay for them. He said, if the people of Bayside care enough to raise money to buy two, I'll buy, I think it was two more. So he did.
That's great. Mm-hmm. How many turnabouts do you think there were?
At maximum, what were there? Up to about six.
I think it was about six.
Yeah, I think they actually started with three. I think Bayside only had to raise money for one, and Snell bought two. And then after that, even at $20 a person, they just saved money and added to the fleet.
Mm-hmm.
So they got up to six. I think it was six.
Do you remember the Van Fleets?
Oh, gosh, yes.
What do you remember about them, Mother?
The Van Fleets?
Yeah.
Well, he had some kind of snorkel or something like that, and he used to go out, like to go off the end of the float and do something with that. And the kids used to, you know, they used to have fun about that. His mother, see, they came from Panama. Several people around here were working in Panama, and they were a couple. Well, his mother was, she was kind of, she really had a lot of voice, and she used to get very angry at him, and one night my dog, we tried not to let her get out, you know, but she did. She followed me, and we went up by Van Fleet's cottage, and our dog. A dog babe must chase Van Fleet's mother's cat. It went right up on the porch. Now, the cat was on a ribbon, so she wouldn't get away. And a babe must go up and chase that cat. Well, I thought probably the woman would tear me to pieces. Well, she didn't. She said, you want to keep that dog home. So I was very much pleased that she didn't talk to me the way she did some people.
So that was Henry that did the scuba gear there. Do you remember their other son?
They another son?
Yeah, the younger one.
I didn't know they had one.
No, I didn't either.
Henry's the only one I ever saw.
Someone told me once that they had one that died of appendicitis when he was 11.
Oh, I see. Well, we weren't around here then.
Oh, okay. That would have been before. I mean, I just was, I, you know, I've been told a lot of stories over the years. Mm-hmm. Look, too, I've heard about her cat, Snowball. Was it a white cat?
Yeah.
I've heard different Snowball stories, too. And Red Rock stories. Do you have any Red Rock stories? Some of the... I don't know if they were your age, some of the kids.
That's a very faint...
They're still there. There are rocks all around my house that are painted red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Henry
That's right. You
painted.
Have the Van Fleet's house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess some kids, I can't remember who was one night as a joke, painted them blue.
Oh.
Was your error or not?
And I don't remember it.
The Van Fleet's quite upset and they had to paint them back, I guess. So.
I suppose Bill Page's family have been around here a long time.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Far as I can remember, anyway, his mother, Ruth Page, lived two doors up from us. Mm-hmm. She's in a nursing home now, and I really miss her. But I think that family were...
They were caretakers for Pingree's, weren't they?
That's right. He was caretaker for the Pingree estate. Oh. So when... Mr. Pingree died, he left Bill that house.
Oh, the big mansion right across the street.
Yes. Used to be.
So that's how they started.
Yeah, that was owned by someone named Pingree.
Oh yeah, Bill used to take care of the Pingrees.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any furniture stories? Like getting furniture up in your second floor.
I think the furniture was here when
we bought
the
place
cottage.
Furnished.
Is
very,
that right?
Very, very nicely furnished.
Most of the cottages tend to have the furniture with them.
Yeah. And it hasn't changed. Has the cottage changed much over the years?
Walter did a lot to it. He laid all these carpets, all of the carpet all through the house. He didn't like dark cereals. He didn't like dark things, so he put in this ceiling, and he put in the ceiling in the dining room, because it was dark, and he didn't like things dark, and he had the whole house electrified because the electrical equipment was kind of bad. It was wires ran under chairs and under carpets and so forth. So he had that done, and he made. At least five closets. Mm-hmm. When we came, it was a very scarcity of closets, but the bedrooms were very large. So he took a whole side off one of the bedrooms and made it into a big storage closet.
Mm-hmm. How many bedrooms do you have?
Three.
And was the porch just like this, wrapped around?
Oh, well, before we came, they took a piece. The porch used to extend way back around the house. They took a piece off it, made a bathroom.
Ah.
That's the only change that has been made.
How about your cottage?
Well, let's see. Not a lot. Really.
Well, you put in that basement.
Oh, well, it's been posted. Yeah, it's not really a basement, but it's on permanent posts now that go beneath the frost line. Not much has changed in my cottage really since I was a small child. You can see that it's been built in three parts, but that's true for most of them. At the front part was a big room downstairs, a big room upstairs that you could tell used to be divided into two, and then a back somewhat lower. Second building, in a sense, was built on, which is now the kitchen downstairs and another bedroom upstairs, and then finally there's a bathroom stuck on the side, which is kind of a shed roof thing. But that was all there when we first moved here. It's not had a lot done to it.
Still a Bayside cottage.
Very much. So one of the old ones,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, just not falling into the bay anymore, right?
Right. Oh, yes, when we bought it, the only thing level was the hearth. Anything else that was, you know, not only would a ball roll, but a child would roll. It was just...
Oh, wow.
It was so out of line that... Because it had been... I would never be accused of taking good care of my cottage, but it was had been extremely neglected for a long time before we bought it, and so it was things were really pretty decrepit.
Now you bought it 17 years ago, so mm-hmm. you've been coming up. Have you always come every summer as far back as you can remember?
There was just one summer when Walt and I took the station wagon and a tent and did the 13 parks of the West, and that took about 7 weeks. But then, before school began, we came down back here for, there were 2 or 3 weeks left, so we came back to Bayside for that 2 or 3 weeks, and Ernie was a counselor at Roy Hilburn Sailing School then. He said, I knew my parents wouldn't stay away all summer.
No, I haven't come every summer by any means. Once I went to college, and then I moved to California for about 10 years. There was a long time in there when I would come back to visit my parents maybe every second summer for a little bit. But I didn't start coming regularly until I married my girl's dad. We started coming up to visit. And then I think he looked around with his real estate eye and said, you know, we ought to buy one of those places, which turned out to be very right because they had been extremely cheap my entire life, and prices were just barely starting to go up, and we got it. If we waited even a year, I don't think.
Now it's $350, but it has been so vastly improved. It's the most beautiful course. It's a big one. The longest fairway, number 5, must be about 500 yards. it really is beautiful. And I played there for years. I've been old treasurer and used to do the handicaps, figure the handicaps before machines took over, and various things like that. So I've really been around there for years, and it was fairly easy to get trophies in. So I have a big batch of trophies up in the twin room, and they entertain Cindy because she's interested in trophies.
She's very impressed with your golf.
What do you?
She's very impressed with you. Impressed with your golf.
Well, I don't play, of course, as I used to, but I still go around the course a few times a week whenever I find time.
Is it an 18-hole golf course?
No, it's only 9.
That's what I thought.
But if you want, some people go 18, you know, they, especially with buggies.
Well, they do have a second tee for every hole, don't they? So you can tee off from a slightly different position, and mm-hmm. that way they can count it as 18 holes, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So I guess it's really a 9-hole, 18-tee golf course, if there's such a thing.
But it really is a beautiful course.
Do you golf anywhere else?
Yes, I've played courses in California, and we used to play one in Lakeland, the Carpenter's home. I played in the club there.
Is that and Florida?
Florida,
yeah.
Carpenter's home, Lakeland. And then 5 of us used to play in Plant City. That got sold, and then I started playing at the reservation. So named because it has a lot of Indian relics. And this year, when I wasn't driving, I played a course I don't care an awful lot about, but I play a par 3 because I have a friend who lives close there, and I leave my buggy at her shed, and so that's what I've been playing this last year. That's only a matter of driving. I really prefer to play the bigger courses.
Have you golfed all your life?
No, I didn't start until I stopped playing tennis. Tennis was my love. I met ball on the tennis court. And that was our life for all through the World War. And then he developed eye trouble, so he couldn't enjoy the tennis. Then we tried golf. He didn't care for the golf, but I kept on. He liked sailing, so that's what he did. But I kept on with the golf. But I didn't play until my children got fairly well grown up, because I knew if I started playing, I'd be up there, and I ought to be with the kids. So
right.
So I didn't start till I was, oh, way up in the 40s.
I heard you got a hole in one.
Yes, about maybe 3 years ago. Oh, and at the reservation. Yes, I played all those years, and I just decided I never was going to. You know, you could drive 18 inches from the hole, but that didn't matter. And I know quite a number of people who played all their life, and it never happened. It's just a happy, you know, it's a happy accident. So that was a surprise.
Yeah, I bet. Have you ever golfed?
No, not more than just kind of knock a ball around really casually.
Yeah. Did you do tennis?
Some.
Did you?
I haven't recently, but I did some. I was trying to think about things that might be helpful. I think because for a very narrow period of time, I have very vivid memories because of being a child here. You asked about the size of the fleet, and I was saying there's maybe a quarter as many boats as now. Not only about a quarter as many boats, they're also very, very small. I think at one point there were maybe two sailboats with cabins on them. We used to go cruising. The yacht club cruises would be us and Bob and Jean Witherell, or us and the Witherells and the Martins. And that would be about it. And all the time I was really little, both the Witherells and the Martins were cruising in little open sailboats that nobody would expect anybody to cruise in. Martin was cruising in a 12-foot open sailboat. His wife didn't really like it. He and one of his boys, he had two boys, and I think only two of them would go at a time. And Bob and Jean Witherell had a big open boat. It was 14 feet. These are small boats to go out there, you know. And that was when we'd gotten our really substantial 23-footer, and that thing looked big out in the bay here.
And then the cabin?
Yes, that was the cabin Rocket Mother was talking about. Then the Witherells got one about the same size and sold their 14-foot boat to the Martins, and so the Martins were now cruising in a bigger open boat. But these are very little things. They didn't plan a cruise 3 months ahead. They watched for the weather, and when a cold front would come in, they'd say, okay, tomorrow we leave. And that's the way they managed to do as much cruising as they did, because we'd go out to Isle of Ho. We really covered the whole bay and with these very little boats. I remember Bob Witherell saying, I think, because my father liked to hear him say it, that talk about Downs weather. You know, if Walter goes, there's never bad weather. And it was, there was no mystery to it. Walter just waited until a northerly blew in the cold front, and then they'd take off.
Uh-huh.
But we sailed in some pretty dense fogs.
That's true. That's true.
You know, when we went over to Northeast Harbor, we and the Witherells, who were caught over there in the fog almost a week.
Yeah, they may have stopped saying Downs weather after that. I'm not sure they'd wanted to.
One noon the fog lifted, and Walt asked someone over there if it was safe to go out. They said yes. We went out. We just got there when a dense fog came, and we started up to a harbor. Walt said, that's safe because we'll see the buoys. Well, there was a big white, something big white right in front of us. It was a granite ledge. So Walt backed off. We got out away, and there were the buoys, but we hadn't seen them because the fog had them hidden. And then we went to maybe it was Nantucket Harbor, where we'd never been before, and went in there and stayed overnight, and a northerly came, and the next day we had to come up Egremorgan Reach with a strong northerly blowing, and it was so wet, while the water came, there was no sense ducking it. I did the steering, because Walt was busy trying to keep the engine dry enough so it would run. You wouldn't think of sailing. And the kids were below, mopping water as fast as it came in. And then finally, the stay went. So then I had to get up on the cabin roof and hold the mast so that wouldn't break. And we kept on until we got up to Belfast. And there we could turn and get away from the wind. And we didn't see the Witherells again. They had babies then, so they were, you know, I think they had old town motorboat, I think they had. And so we didn't see them. They went at Box Harbor. We saw them at Bayside a few days later. Well, that was just one of the funny adventures we had. We had a lot of them, because we sailed about 25 years, and we really had some honeys.
A little more excitement than I could take, I think.
Well, we really had it. Things that, you know, Walt would do anyway, and I never said no. His first race, we just went over the starting line till when a squall struck, and everybody else went back to the shore. Not Walter. He was a new sailor. He stayed right out there. And they may have sent a motorboat to pick us up if we went over something, I guess. And we had it was a centerboard, which I don't trust too much. But he said, lie out on the side, and that would help keep the thing from tipping so much. You don't think we had life jackets? We didn't wear them. When we went round, boy, it was wild. We could end, he said he learned to sail that day.
Did you win the race?
What?
Did he win the race?
Well,
he's the only one in it.
the night we went, the night we finished winning the race, we stayed out till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Good.
That was winning the series.
And we were sent out at 4 o'clock at night when the wind died. And all we had to do was get one point to win the trophy, and our opponent had a boat that would point better than the cabin rocket that we were sailing. So we went up around the bell, and down around the bell over by Islesboro, and the wind completely died. The moon went in. We had stripped the boat because we were going south. We had nothing to eat. We had no jackets because we'd climbed Batty that day, and we had nothing. We had no light. So we just worked the way across the bay all night. Finally, they got frightened out by over here. They kept going down the wharf, you know, to see where we were. They got frightened because they sent somebody out to find us. Well, we heard them, but we wouldn't answer.
So
they couldn't see us because we didn't have any light, and it was dark. So they came in and said they couldn't find us. They should never sent Wadham out that time of night. He shouldn't have been sent out. But we worked until 1 o'clock in the morning and somehow got back between the markers. That was the night we finished winning a trophy.
There wasn't much of a social when you got in, was there?
There were people on the wharf watching to make
is
sure
that
we went
right?
Be sure we went through the markers.
Oh, that is too funny.
When we got through, our opponent said, "How are you going to get back to your mooring?" He said, "There's no wind." Walt said, "We'll swim." But he said, "I'll come out and tow you."
Oh, that's all right.
Why didn't Dad have a motor? Was Dad's motor not working?
What's that?
Why didn't you have a motor?
You weren't allowed to use
He's
a motor.
He's racing.
Well, no, but I mean, after the race was over.
Oh.
Was the motor broken as usual? It was. That old engine was non-functioning often. Must have been.
I couldn't tell you why we didn't use a motor to come back, but of course it was just such a short distance from, we were just up beyond the markers were right out here, and we were just over the marker, and our mooring was a short distance.
Sure, but rather than being tired, it must have been one of the times the motor wasn't working.
I don't know, maybe it wasn't.
Dad had a lot of trouble.
That motor wasn't working much of the time.
The shipyards where he'd leave the boats, a lot of times, they just seemed to be, they were oriented toward taking care of the boat, of sailing boats, and a lot of times didn't work on the motor over the winter. And so a lot of times, we'd have very unreliable engines.
Yeah, that motor, Walt used to take the boat to various places, and when he took it to Horseshoe Cove, the man there did nothing on the motor, so it often didn't work. And we and Fred Martin were going down to Matinicus. No, Monhegan. Well, a hurricane came, so we lived through the hurricane. And the day after the hurricane, Walt said, let's go down and see what's going on after the hurricane. So we went, and he wanted to go out the outside of the island. We did. When we got back around the island, the motor died and didn't work again for the summer. Mm-hmm. So we had to use the motor. But no one was gone. We had to use a sail. So we went into Rockland and stayed there overnight and then came up the next day. But we were lucky if it ever failed when we were on the outside of Monhegan. We've just been landed on the rocks because there was a strong northerly blowing, and you wouldn't be time to get your sails up before you're on the rocks. Well, we had a lot of adventures like that.
Do you think there was more wildlife?
What's that?
Was there more wildlife?
Was what?
No.
Animals? You've never seen moose or bears or deer?
Really, I think there's more. I've seen more in recent years.
Nothing but deer.
We've seen moose in recent years, and I don't remember moose around when I was a child, so I don't know if there's any difference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember any wildlife around earlier that isn't around now. Do you, Mother?
There weren't
any more seals or anything.
But we used to go ashore on Western Island, and that's the place where the seagulls nest.
Oh.
And a large area was covered with the nests of the seagulls, with their eggs and their babies, and the smell.
Yeah. And a lot of dead birds. I hated that when I was a kid.
That was one of the islands out here?
One of the islands out in the eastern part of the bay.
Really?
Yeah. It must have been just the nesting area, I suppose, because there were just such masses of them.
Wow, never heard of that. Well, unless you ladies have anything else to say.
No, I think probably we've taken a lot of your time and told stories that were more entertaining to us than to you.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I want to thank you very much for sharing your memories with us.
Well, we've had a nice, interesting afternoon. You know, some of these things, they're a big deal to us, but they aren't to anybody else.
I don't know. Thank you very much.